Back up top, shot through traffic, save made. Follow-up try, that one hits a body in front, and a score! It's a score! It's a score! And the Ice Bears have a 4-3 lead with 30 seconds remaining in the hockey game. Oh, what a hit! Welcome to the SPHL in Knoxville! Comes in on the right side, through the right circle, taking it and fed across, they score! Oh, yes! And the Ice Bears win 3-2 in overtime!
Welcome into the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. My name is Joel Silverberg. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the KIB podcast, whether you're doing so on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the show. A little bit later in the week for this episode, I wanted to wait until the trade deadline had passed, see if there was going to be any notable news that happened right before Monday's trade deadline came to its conclusion. And in fact, it did not. There were actually no trades across the league for the trade deadline, which is kind of funny when you think about it playing out that way, but that's how everything shaped up. So we'll get to all of that as time goes on. Open up the mailbag on the SPHL fans Facebook group. So we'll get to your questions as well. Appreciate everybody that submitted questions and gave some input. So we'll get to those questions before this podcast episode is over. Obviously, a 3-game weekend for Knoxville to recap. And want to start off the show by wishing our best to Huntsville defenseman and captain Dom Procopio. For those who haven't heard, suffered a pretty significant lower body injury in Saturday night's game against Macon. Looked like an innocent tie-up on a stick lift that just resulted in him going into the boards and suffering an injury, and game was delayed for a little while. And that's got to be a tough situation, obviously, for Dom, first and foremost. And from what we have heard is that he's surgery was successful, he's at home and recovering, and all things considered, is doing well. And so, you know, our thoughts and prayers out to Procopio and his family and loved ones. That's never something you want to see for any player, for any team in the league. And, you know, hockey's obviously a fast-paced physical game, and so sometimes accidents like this happen. And so certainly hope that those sort of things don't happen again moving forward in the future. But unfortunately, you do see that from time to time where, you know, play has to be stopped and an injured player has to be taken care of. And certainly hope that Dom is able to make a speedy recovery and hopefully see him on the ice sooner rather than later. I know that Ice Bears head coach Andrew Harrison reached out to Huntsville head coach Stuart Stefan to send his thoughts and regards. And you know, Stefan gave the word back to Harrison that, you know, he was doing well, all things considered. And, would imagine that just about every team in the league has reached out to Huntsville in some fashion and wishing their best for Dom. So a really good defenseman. Remember him as a rookie coming in and immediately was contributing, and you kind of saw some of his skill on display. Wasn't getting the minutes that he is now, but to see him go, especially at an organization like Huntsville that's obviously had a lot of recent success, and they've had a lot of really good players there too. So to go from, you know, being a rookie that, you know, as a defenseman, you're not necessarily playing top 2 minutes entirely as a rookie the entire time. And then you become one of the mainstays on that defensive core. And, you know, with guys like Tyler Piacentini and Sy Nutkovich and Rob Dara all retiring, and to then be the guy wearing the C, that's obviously a very significant increase in a short amount of time. I believe he's only in his third year with Huntsville. So big impact in a small amount of time. And, you know, Huntsville obviously paid a lot of tribute to him going out and finishing out that game, finding, you know, a way to win. Because it's also tough for the players that are out there on the ice, because you see something like that happen and then you have to go out and continue playing. And so whether it's your teammate or one of your opponents, it can be a really scary thought. And so, you know, credit to Huntsville for going out to, you know, win for number two. And I know they're going to continue to be motivated as they get ready for the upcoming weekend. They've got a couple of games against Evansville at home. So, you know, a big weekend up ahead for Huntsville as they're starting to inch a little bit closer to breaking back into the top four. And, you know, a big come from behind win for them on Thursday. And so obviously, first and foremost, wanting nothing but the best for Procopio and his recovery. But for Huntsville, they're going to be playing with a little bit of added motivation as they get ready to host the Thunderbolts for two games this weekend. So getting into Knoxville, mentioned that big come from behind win for Huntsville on Thursday. Knoxville with its fourth loss of the season when leading in the third period, but the first time the Ice Bears have lost a game all year when leading by two goals at any point in time. So you think back to that Pensacola game. Knoxville has an early 2-0 lead. They give up two goals about 7 minutes later. It's suddenly tied at two. Knoxville ends up holding on to win in a shootout. Knoxville loses its third period lead in that game on February 10th against Roanoke, ends up winning in overtime. So there have been moments like that this season where Knoxville's been able to overcome some, you know, third period lapses, and on Thursday it wasn't able to do it. And that's a big 2-point loss for Knoxville, one that the Ice Bears are really wishing that they could have back, especially depending on how the final 11 games of the regular season plays out. Knoxville's trailing Evansville by 3 points with no games in hand. That was another thing, is that with that loss, Knoxville also lost the game in hand it had over Evansville going into the weekend. And so it all got started with a power play goal late in the second period, and then Huntsville was able to converge again. And I said it on the broadcast, it had an eerie, similar feeling to the game at Roanoke from last February when Knoxville had a 4-1 lead. And granted, the circumstances were different. Knoxville only had 11 skaters on the ice, but the Ice Bears had a 4-1 lead, gave up two goals in the final minute of the second period. And it was one thing to give up the first goal, but when Knoxville gave up the second goal 15 seconds later, you could kind of feel the momentum shift in the building that, you know, Roanoke's playing at home. They've got a lot of energy. They've got all the momentum. And sure enough, Roanoke scored two more goals in the third period to win the game 5-4. It's exactly what happened with Huntsville on Thursday. So a really unfortunate loss for Knoxville. And then things did not get better the following night. Knoxville came out, gave up a goal 61 seconds into the game after an early penalty. Owen McDade, with a quick shot from the bottom of the right circle, just beat Sean Kuhn to that short side post. And things just continued to roll from there for the Rail Yard Dogs. They scored five goals in the first 11 minutes, scored again before the first intermission. At the end of the first 20 minutes of play, Knoxville had six shots on goal. Roanoke had a 6-0 lead. And Knoxville came out, competed a little bit better in the second period, but you know that kind of comes with Roanoke having a 6-goal cushion that it can sit on. So the Ice Bears were down 7-2 and then gave up five more goals in an 11-minute span. So on two separate occasions over the course of this game, Knoxville gave up five goals in 11 minutes and lost 12-3 to a Roanoke team that's obviously been trying to find some footing after dealing with call-ups and injuries. It looks like they might be getting some pieces back very soon. And for Knoxville, it's the worst loss in franchise history in terms of margin of defeat, the 9-goal deficit. It ties a franchise record for the most goals allowed in a single game with 12, the first time that's happened since 2005. And it was just a very long night for Knoxville and a very unfortunate night for Knoxville. And so not sure if it was a bit of a hangover effect from what happened the night before, but credit to Knoxville. It came out on Saturday and found a way to win. Riley Morris, after flying back to Knoxville from Idaho, then drove 4 hours in the car from Knoxville to Roanoke, suits up. The Ice Bears release Sean Kuhn, and then Morris goes in. Hadn't played in a game since February 3rd. That was the last time he appeared in a game for Knoxville. He was called up in mid-February to Idaho, didn't play at all while he was with the Steelheads. So his first on-ice action in a real game in a month, and comes out, stops 42 of 43 shots, and Troy Murray gets the game winner with a slap shot from the top of the left circle in overtime. And it, really, the argument that could be made that the goal that Morris gave up was really just more of an unfortunate bounce than anything. It was a shot from the blue line, was redirected by CJ Stubbs in front of the net, went wide of the net, hit the rear end wall. Brendan Daller took CJ Stubbs out of the play by pushing him off the crease so he couldn't collect the rebound, but Alex DiCarlo swept in, and I think Riley Morris was trying to cover the other side of the crease, and I think there may have been an incidental bump into Morris, so he kind of got himself screened there, and DiCarlo just comes over, sweeps the puck across the front of the crease, and backhands it into an open net. And so it was just kind of an unfortunate bounce more than anything for Knoxville. But the Ice Bears hung on, killed off a third period penalty, found a way to get the game to overtime, and Morris made some big saves down the stretch. And then Really heads up play by Justin Levesque. I thought he was Knoxville's best player on Saturday. He assisted on both goals. His stick was really active in the D zone. And he really helped Knoxville gain a bit of an edge in the faceoff circle. That was one of the huge differences between Friday and Saturday, is just Knoxville wasn't winning faceoffs. Levesque slides over from wing to center and had a very active stick in the defensive zone, broke up some key passes. But the play that he made in the neutral zone really sets up Troy Murray's goal. Murray's kind of throwing the puck into the neutral zone, takes a weird bounce off the boards. John McDonald appears to have possession. Levesque shoulder bumps him off the puck, makes a between the legs pass across the blue line. Murray is coming up the left side, follows up the play well, and then he's got some space, so he just uncorks it. And Rodebush gets a piece of it, finds its way into the net, and Knoxville picks up a huge 2 points. And with Quad City defeating Evansville twice on Friday and Saturday, Knoxville, oddly enough, blows a 3-goal lead in a regulation loss, suffers the worst loss in franchise history, absolutely pummeled by Roanoke on Friday, and somehow gets closer to a playoff spot than it was at the start of the weekend. Now, granted, Knoxville is 5 points back with a game in hand. So you can still, if you're Evansville, you can look at it and spin it in a positive way of saying, hey, you know, all that really meant was that they utilized their game in hand. And that's where you really would have loved to have had at least a point in that game on Thursday. And you can't make any excuses. Knoxville should have won the game on Thursday night. It didn't. So instead of being 1 point back of a playoff spot with 11 games remaining, Knoxville is 3 points back, but still 11 games remaining. A lot can happen in that amount of time. And the Ice Bears still have a lot of work to do. And obviously, you can look at the two games against Roanoke. It's ultimately a split for the Ice Bears, but at the same time, you can't hope to just have your goalie stopping 40-plus shots a game, only putting up one goal in 60 seconds and hoping to find ways to win. Now, if you have to do that every single night, you better find a way to execute and ultimately do it, but that's a really tough thing to ask of your goalie night in and night out. And so Knoxville, you know, if it could go out and compete in the first and third periods that the way that it did on Saturday, if it can start to replicate that, that would be a huge boost for Knoxville moving forward. I thought Knoxville was better defensively. Knoxville was a little bit better in the puck possession battle. It actually outshot Roanoke in the first period. And, you know, that came with Roanoke having a power play opportunity. So I think for Knoxville, there's the, you know, there's obviously the signs that it can be done. Knoxville just really needs to go out and execute. And so the second period was all Roanoke. The Railyard Dogs had 24 shots on goal. Riley Morris, big save, stopped a couple of really good rebound opportunities. Knoxville had some chances late in the second period. Justin Smunt had the breakaway chance. Rodebush made a really good save. And obviously the story kind of points more to Riley Morris because of the circumstances that he had to play on Saturday night and then making 42 saves when his team gets outshot. Rodebush was really good in net Saturday night. He made some really big saves. There was the backdoor opportunity that he stopped. Dabrowski had a chance there on the short side of the crease that Rodebush made a good save on. I think there were other opportunities that, you know, Knoxville tried to do what it could to capitalize and execute. And I thought Rodebush at times did a good job at challenging shooters. He read plays well. There were a couple of screens that he fought through and didn't give up a whole lot of rebounds. And sometimes that becomes, you know, for Rodebush, when Knoxville's had success against him at times, it's been on the second chance opportunities. And with the two goals on Saturday, it was a screenshot from the high slot by Seth Enzer that, you know, you go up high to a goalie's blocker side. That's a tough shot for any goalie to stop, and Rodebush can't really see. I thought it was a good screen by Knoxville. And then in overtime, you know, Rodebush sees the play. He comes out to challenge Murray, and, you know, Murray just beats him. And sometimes that happens. That's, you know, Rodebush gets a piece of it. It was that close to, you know, potentially turning that game around for Roanoke and winning it. So I think for Roanoke, you look at it and say you got 3 or 4 points on the weekend. You would have loved to have had four, and, you know, you outshoot a team that heavily, you feel like you should have an opportunity to win the game. And I think anytime you hold a team to one goal through 60 minutes, you feel like you should win. But I thought Rodebush was really good for Roanoke throughout the weekend, and, you know, gave his team a 6-goal cushion going into the second period, gave up a couple of goals early there in the second. But I also think part of that comes with the territory of, you know, teams are not used to playing with 6-goal leads. That's very, very rare in any level of professional hockey, but
I thought Rodebush had a really good weekend. I thought Roanoke overall had a really good weekend. Dan Bremner recently has signed six recent college, I don't want to say graduates, but players that have recently wrapped up their college careers to PTOs and SPCs and things like that. Dan Barry, it was announced on Tuesday, was placed on team suspension so he can go back and wrap up his classes. He's set to finish his last undergraduate semester, so he's going to graduate in May. But, you know, Knoxville saw him a little bit. Troy Quinn had a pretty big game on Friday. Everybody for Roanoke had a big game on Friday, but I think, you know, this is kind of something similar that we've seen. Alex DiCarlo was a late addition last year, and now he's become a really key member of that Roanoke squad. But I think you look at guys like Troy Quinn and Aiden Gerdukas on the back end. Anthony Sonato had a great pro debut. You've seen a little bit of Jimmy O'Kane. And so for, you know, for Roanoke, it's now it's a matter of, you know, they might be getting some guys back. Brendan Stanko still has to come off the IR. You know, what's the status of some of the guys that are on call up in the ECHL? Could CJ Valerian make a return? All those question marks that come around with certain guys that are, you know, on the IR or on team suspension or things of that nature, or guys that are on call up. And Dan Bremner is going to have some personnel decisions to make in the next couple of weeks about which guys he's going to keep, because he's got a lot of bodies right now to work with. But the guys that he's brought in, has shown that he can recruit, get guys to fit the system quickly and to go out and execute properly. So for Knoxville, it gets that same team two more times this weekend. And that's going to be a huge weekend for Knoxville. You know, it'll have a game in hand over Evansville again, because the Thunderbolts are playing three games this weekend at home against, or on the road, excuse me, against Huntsville on Friday and Saturday, and then at home against Pensacola on Sunday afternoon. So for the Ice Bears, if, you know, you get a little bit of help, you're able to go out and compete, continue to get more points, you know, maybe you get that game in hand back, and maybe the deficit is at the same or even a little bit closer. Now, Knoxville's still running out of time, so being 3 points back after this weekend isn't ideal. It's better than being 5 points back, even though Knoxville would have the game in hand. But it would, you know, do Knoxville a lot of justice if it can go out, collect some points, and maybe get some help from Huntsville and Pensacola on the weekend. And obviously, Evansville's been very competitive. They've scrapped together wins against very, very good teams. And, you know, they played Quad City really well, and Quad right now has been arguably the hottest team in the league. They have the best record over their last 10 games, 8-2 in their last 10. They've won five straight. Cole Golka was named the player of the week. Matt Eustaski continues to put up points. Brett Moran is turning in solid performances in net. So for Knoxville, this is every weekend's a big weekend, but you look at the math, despite everything that went wrong for Knoxville last week, you're still in a situation where you have 5 weekends left in the season. So can you be 1 point better than Evansville in each of these 5 weekends? Because if so, that gets you into the postseason. And it's, you know, Knoxville's trying to put itself in a situation where at the very least it can be still fighting for a playoff spot on the last game of the regular season, and is trying to inch closer and closer to getting back into that top eight. So appreciate everybody for listening to the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. And again, opened up the mailbag over the course of the week to allow fans and listeners to send in questions. So we appreciate everybody that did that. Braden asks, any news on the college guys we have coming down? I have heard talk about some college players possibly coming in. I don't have any names confirmed at this time. I had heard that there was a current Ice Bears player who had some former college teammates who were interested in coming in. However, that particular school has qualified for the NCAA Division III tournament, so that may not be something that happens this week. The tournament field for the NCAA Division III tournament was announced on Monday, so they only took 13 teams, which means you've got half the top 25, and then you had a couple of schools outside the top 20 that, you know, won their conference and claimed an automatic bid, so it kind of, you know, it burst the bracket bubble a little bit for a couple of really good teams that didn't get in. So, you know, there's a lot of players out there that are, you know, going to be available if they want to continue their college career or continue their professional career. And, you know, there might be a Dan Barry situation where they might be able to come in for a week and then they have to go and finish class. So it really just depends. But I know Andrew Harrison, Knoxville's head coach, has been looking into it. So Braden, a really good question. Appreciate the question. And so I know it's not the answer that you want to hear. There's nothing definitive right now, but I know that there are things in the works. I just don't know with which players specifically, and I don't have a timeline on when those players would arrive. Terry asks, as the season rolls on, are we starting to realize Clark wasn't the problem? I think it's kind of a twofold question. Obviously, you can't blame Brent Clark for everything when he was only here for the first six games of the season. I do think there are certain obstacles and restrictions that do hurt teams in that situation a little bit more moving forward. As I've mentioned before, the independence of the SPHL, there's no long-term contracts. Guys can kind of go wherever they want to. It does hinder a team in certain situations because when a team does poorly, all of the players independently appear as lesser players. And that's not necessarily fair to them, but I think sometimes that's the way it goes because you might have a really high quality forward that is playing on a line with guys that aren't performing up to a certain degree. And I'm not saying that this is necessarily happening with Knoxville, but I think you do see it. This trend sometimes happen in the league. And so you might have a really good player that isn't a point per game guy when they normally would be, but the lack of team success sometimes contributes to that. And so they don't look as valuable of a trade commodity. So it's tougher to make trades because those players aren't viewed as appealing. And again, it's not fair to the players, but sometimes they've been put in a tough situation. It also affects the ability to recruit in season because there's no waiver order for guys that haven't played in the league yet. I've used this example before. So when Brian Bowen is released from the Norfolk Admirals in the ECHL and Fayetteville did not retain his rights from the season prior, he can go anywhere he wants to. And so, you know, Fayetteville's got a new coach. Maybe he doesn't have a relationship there. Knoxville reaches out to him and says, hey, we've got spots available. You would play top line minutes here. We think you'd be a great addition. Would you like to come to Knoxville? And he says, no, I'm going to go to Birmingham. Why? Well, the standings probably had something to do with that. And so players can look at standings. They can look at team success. And granted, here's the thing. It's not like Bowen just went and is bandwagoning on to a Birmingham team that's deep. He has been a legitimate top six forward for the team that has the best record into the league up to this point. So, you know, it's not like I'm looking at Brian Bowen and blaming him for going to Birmingham instead of Knoxville, but it does make it a little bit more difficult. And so you've got to have that on ice success. And then Knoxville started to have that, and it had guys, it had pieces together. Brady Florent came back from the ECHL. Cam Huff started to get his game going after starting the year in Wichita. And then Jordy Stallard, after, you know, a couple of slow games, really started to find his place. And then playing with Brady really elevated that top line. And then all three of those guys were really important for what Knoxville is doing on the power play. Well, Cam Huff goes to France. Brady Florent gets called up to Norfolk and starts tearing it up. And Jordy Stallard gets a call up and then, you know, decides he doesn't want to come back to the SPHL. So when he gets released, he ultimately decides to go to Finland. And so it's kind of just the way that it is where, you know, the three guys that were offensively producing and were also the biggest weapons you had on the power play, look what happens. Knoxville starting to, you know, Jordy Stallard left and Knoxville lost its first 13 games it played without him in the lineup. Now, granted, you know, it's not an excuse. You've got to be able to find ways to win before that, and Knoxville was competitive in a lot of those games. But, you know, it's just the little things that happen where a guy gets called up, he gets released, and then kind of makes it clear, I don't intend on playing in the SPHL anymore. I either want to stay in the ECHL or I want to go overseas, which is ultimately what he did. So, you know, we're not going to sit here and blame the entire season on you know, what's happening now, you know, the three-goal lead that was blown on Thursday. You know, you don't blame that on Brent Clark, but it ultimately the starting roster that you begin with falls on the head coach. And then moving forward, you know, the players that you have and how this team comes together, the culture that you establish, that is set, you know, during the offseason, the lead up to the preseason, and then in the start of the season moving forward. And then not only that, but, you know, it means the guys that are still here from early November, you know, it's you have to get yourself out of that mindset of being, well, we're an 0-16, we're in dead last, we haven't scored a power play goal yet, we've been outscored 30-7. You have a lot to overcome, and Knoxville worked really hard to win 8 of its next 11 games, and then you lose your entire top line, and suddenly things start to go in the wrong direction. So it's not a matter of realizing that Clark isn't the problem. It's the matter of, you know, trying to hold things together, and everybody takes responsibility for it. The players know that what happened on Thursday and Friday is unacceptable. There was a lot of, you know, kind of a players-led meeting in the locker room after the game. I know Jason Price, you know, addressed the team after the loss on Thursday. And then obviously the guys had to wake up in a huge way on Friday. And then after, you know, failing to come out and execute early, the game kind of falls apart very, very quickly on Friday. And then on Saturday, the team pulled together and won. And so, you know, hopefully that at least, you know, obviously you can't control what Evansville does, but hopefully watching, you know, Evansville lose to Quad City twice gives you some motivation saying, hey, if we can continue to grind and chip away and chip away, you know, maybe we'll get some help, you know, maybe we'll catch some breaks. But if we can do everything that we can in our power to move forward, you know, we're still in this. And we got 11 games left to make up what is ultimately a game and a half deficit. And any pro team in that situation would tell you that you got to keep fighting. And so Andrew Harrison wears every loss on this team on his shoulders incredibly personally. The guys in the locker room know that, you know, that they've got to be better. So it's not just a matter of, you know, pointing the blame at one person. It's, you know, Clark definitely didn't help the situation, but, you know, I think you do have to look at it to a degree of saying, okay, the team went from 0-6 and with ultimately the same roster suddenly won 8 of their next 11 games, and including, you know, a close loss to Birmingham, wins over Fayetteville and Peoria, which at the time Fayetteville was playing really, really good hockey. That was before their call-ups really bit them in the rear back in mid-November. And then finding ways to come from behind against, you know, Macon a couple of times. So I'm not going to, you know, got to win on the road at Huntsville. So I'm not going to, you know, sit here and absolve Clark of, you know, of what happened at the beginning of the season. But I'm not going to say that there's no accountability for the people in the organization on the ice and, you know, on the bench that are still here. But I hope that answers your question, Terry. Tammy asks, if you had to take one current forward, defenseman, and goalie from other SPHL teams to have in Knoxville, who would they be? Tammy, really fun question here. Go through this quickly as we're running out of time. Forward, I would go with Alec Bear. The guy continues to produce. He's, you know, been a former league MVP. I know at times he's had some call-ups, which maybe has kind of shrunk his numbers just a little bit in certain seasons because he's not playing as many SPHL games. But when you look at what he's done over the years, obviously former WHL guy, so a really talented player. He's seen a significant amount of time in the ECHL, but in the time that he's been in Peoria, his numbers continue to get better. He's like the only player in the last 10 years to have an 80-point season. What he did in 21-22 was ridiculous. Last season, 48 points in 41 games, so missed some time, obviously. And then this year, continues to be one of the top scorers in the league, and he can do it in a number of ways. He can score goals. He can set guys up. He elevates the guys that he plays with. You know, he can be pretty good defensively as well. So all in all, a really solid player who has gotten his share of call-ups. But Alec Bear, and I know that Matt Eustaski, you can make the argument, Drake Glover, those guys are having better individual seasons. But I think when you look over the last 3 or 4 years, the way that he's been able to consistently produce, that's a forward that you can really build your team around. Defenseman, I would take Matt O'Day. He's been a solid defenseman in this league for a while now, but what he has done for Roanoke, he's not going to get the MVP consideration because the points just aren't there compared to some of the forward, but what he means to Roanoke when you consider some of the guys that they've lost through, you know, Nick Ford going overseas and then losing guys to injury and losing guys to call-ups, he's really been a solid glue guy for that team, but he can also play forward. So he's really been a utility guy, a big Swiss Army knife for them. And he's had games where in the same weekend, he had a 3-point night playing on the blue line, and then he had another multi-point night playing forward the following night. So he can play both ways, which makes him a good two-way forward. Not only can he play forward, he can play center. So he really can do it all. There are very few guys in the league that can do that effectively. He's quick. He's smart with the puck, can shoot from the blue line, not afraid to crash the net, discerns well when to go forward, when to get back. I think he's a really, really valuable asset in Roanoke. And goalie, I'd kind of go down the well again, but I'd go with Austin Rodebush for similar reasons as Alec Bear. I know there are other goalies this season that are having better years, but Rodebush continues to be an iron man for the Rail Yard Dogs and continues to play at a high level and keep guys in games. And obviously what he does in the playoffs has been very, very good for Roanoke over the last couple of seasons. So I appreciate the question. Chase asks, what seems to be keeping the Ice Bears from putting a full game together? What changes do you think need to be made to make the next season more successful? Appreciate the question, Chase. Andrew Harrison talks often about getting to the right spots, working hard, and at avoiding the self-inflicted wounds. And I think it's really just about, I think one thing that would be huge is being more efficient on the breakout and keeping the pedal down on the floor on the forecheck. I think doing those two things would really help Knoxville a long way, because when the Ice Bears do those things for stretches, they outplay teams and outplay them pretty well. You saw it in the first 30 minutes against Huntsville on Thursday, and then once they got away from being able to really stick to that forecheck and prevent the breakout, that's when Huntsville really started to get the transition game going. So, Chase, I appreciate the question. Chris asks, if you could only take five players off the Ice Bears roster in next season, who would they be and why? So for forwards, I would take Justin Smut and Dawson McKinney. I think you've got two young guys there that could really develop into big-time players. Defensively, I think Brendan Daller has a really good combination of quickness and strength, and he's got really good recovery speed. I think Cody Schwartz is a really smart guy with the puck and executes breakouts well, and a really solid passer too. And then the fifth guy, it really depends on if you want three forwards or three defensemen. So I'll give one of each. I would go with either Rex Moe, because I think he's really established himself as a leader in the locker room. His hands are really good. He's gotten faster this season. And he's got a pretty good shot too. And he's found ways that he can be cohesive with just about any line mates that you give him. And then, if I'm going with a defenseman, I would go with Seth Enzer. I think he's a leader in the locker room. He understands his role too. If he's not wearing the letter, he's going to protect the guys that are. And I think that's really, really important to have that guy in the locker room. And also he's shown that he's got a bit of a shot too, and he's not afraid to let it go from the blue line. So Chris, really appreciate the question. And finally, another Chris asked, which bank is best in Knoxville for me to get a loan so I can drink beer at the games March 8th and 9th from a Dogs fan? Well, Chris, I appreciate the question. I'm not qualified to give financial advice. I will say, First Bank, proud sponsor of the Knoxville Ice Bears. Thank you to everybody for asking your questions and for listening in to this edition of the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast. The Ice Bears are in action this Friday and Saturday at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum against the Roanoke Railyard Dogs. So four games consecutively in an eight-day span between the same two teams should be very, very interesting. I am told that Keith Grooms is going to be the referee for both games this weekend. Do with that information what you will. But I appreciate you taking the time to listen to the podcast. Please leave a five-star rating and review and tell another SPHL fan you know about the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast as we try to talk more about what's going on around the rest of the league as well. About a month left to go in the regular season, so a lot of fun to be had, and we'll see how the playoff race shakes up. And Knoxville, a big weekend ahead with two home games at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. We'll have the call for you on 92.5 WKCE, the flagship station of the Knoxville Ice Bears. Thank you again for listening. I'm Joel Silverberg. This has been the Knoxville Ice Bears podcast.